Are you a newly commissioned officer excitedly awaiting your first key assignment as a platoon leader or XO? Have you ever wondered what your company commander expects of you? Today, we discuss that very topic with two recent company commanders to provide you with actionable insights that will prepare you and elevate your performance. This is the Leaders Huddle Podcast, number 2, what company commanders expect from their lieutenants. Welcome to the Leaders Huddle Podcast. Through this podcast, our goal is to educate and inspire the current generation of company-grade officers through advancing the discussion of leadership, professionalism, and building high-performing organizations. I'm your host, Captain David Ward. With me is our co-host, Captain Dave Laura. How are you today, Dave?
Doing great. Ready to get going.
Today, we have our esteemed guests, Captain Jerry Gorse and Captain Randy Shedd, who are here to discuss what company commanders expect from their new lieutenants. Randy, an infantry officer, commanded 2 companies in a combined arms battalion as part of 3rd ID, Rock of the Marne, including 1 Torn Command while deployed to Operation Enduring Freedom. Are you fired up, Randy?
Excited to be here, Dave.
All right, also with us today we have Jerry Gorse, an aviation officer who commanded the Army's 1st UAS troop organic to a combat aviation brigade, and then later commanded an attack reconnaissance helicopter troop as part of the 101st Airborne Division at Fort Campbell. Jerry, welcome.
Thanks, guys. Happy to be here.
You guys excited to dig in today's discussion?
I am.
Let's do it. Air assault.
All right, guys. Let's do it. So first, since you've both been commanders already, I want you to speak directly to those new lieutenants that are out there that are at Bullock or sitting in a staff position waiting to get to their first platoon or XO position. I want to know from both of you what you're looking for in your platoon leaders and XOs, and what set your great lieutenants apart from the rest of your lieutenants. Randy, as an infantry company commander and headquarters commander, what were some of the specific traits and qualities that you looked for in your new lieutenants?
First and foremost, I think I was looking for lieutenants, officers that possessed integrity. I know it's one of the Army values, and a lot of people think they understand what it means, but in practice, it becomes essential to any organization that you're a part of. The reason being is integrity is one of those fundamental attributes that helps to build relationships, which I know we're going to talk about a little later. But as a young lieutenant, you are often asked to be the eyes and ears for that company commander, and by default, the battalion. In little things, such as maintenance or physical fitness, some of the other day-to-day tasks, your company commander may not have all the time in the world to inspect everything that you do. So what he has to do at times is trust what you say about a situation. This can be quite difficult and sometimes overwhelming for a young lieutenant. A lot of times that young lieutenant is looking to always put the best foot forward and not tell the commander bad or negative news. What I've learned is that bad news may not get better with time. We've all heard that saying, and if you haven't heard it, you will soon. So, a lieutenant, platoon leader, XO with integrity can be trusted by the company commander. And that helps the company commander make decisions, bring resources to the table to fix that problem. And it also shows a level of character that otherwise may not be displayed without that integrity piece. So integrity was definitely one of the traits that I was looking for.
Yeah, that's a great example there of how that can be built from the negative side of bringing problems forward to your company commander, so I appreciate that insight there.
So Jerry, as an aviator, I know you guys have specific, unique roles in the aviation community, but what I see what you have here that it's really not branch specific. I'd like to get your insights from the aviation community.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what Randy just said, and my overall perspective and general thoughts on leadership is it doesn't matter what branch or what job you're in. Leadership is leadership at the platoon level and elsewhere. The difference, particularly in aviation, is where the actual competencies, skills, and knowledge related to your specific field lie. So it's my opinion, and I'm biased, but it's my opinion that aviation lieutenants have one of the hardest jobs in the Army because you have to do two full-time jobs at the same time. What I mean by that is while you're being a platoon leader and everything that goes along with that, such as the day-to-day running of the platoon, you also have to be a full-time pilot and earn your way up that unique totem pole in itself. They are connected for sure, but two completely distinct problem sets or tracks that aviation lieutenants need to master. You can't be a good lieutenant and not be a good pilot, and vice versa in aviation. You have to be a master of both. Think about it this way. Warrant officers in the aviation branch are brought in to be experts at flying, and while they do have additional duties, their primary job is to be experts at flying. Lieutenants are expected to do the very same thing, and on top of that, be a platoon leader. So how does this translate into advice for a new lieutenant? You must not waste a minute, and you need to be an absolute sponge and just absorb everything that goes on. You know, and everyone will say, well, that's what everyone says, right? Yeah, no kidding. But you really have to do it in aviation. The hours in the cockpit are limited, and you need to soak it up, and not only soak it up, but you need to retain everything. There's no time, and there's very little resources, especially in today's environment, for retraining the new lieutenant who might not get it the first time. And if you're the guy or girl that needs to be retrained, some warrant officers and some commanders may view that as a liability and give you less resources and less attention. The good ones, they won't. They'll give you more attention and more resources and make sure you get trained to enhance the unit. But not all warrant officers and commanders will see it that way, which is extremely detrimental to the development to the lieutenant and platoon leader. So an example from the past that I have that I can share is I knew one platoon leader. He was awesome out of the aircraft. He was an excellent platoon leader, and he probably would have been an awesome platoon leader in any branch. But he was deficient in the aircraft because he didn't study outside of work. He viewed flying as a break from the office. He perceived that there were unlimited resources. As a result of that, he lost credibility in the cockpit, and that translated to outside of the cockpit and essentially torpedoed any respect anyone in the platoon or troop had for him. Another platoon leader in another troop, he was in aviation what we would call an awesome stick. He was a really good pilot, but he couldn't write an award or an eval, do PT, communicate, or anything like that very well at all. So he was also not a good platoon leader and lost respect. So the takeaway is that in Army aviation, you have to be good at both tracks of your job in order to be effective. If you expect it and prepare for it, then it'll be easier to swallow and you'll do better. I can compare it to what I perceive as an infantry officer. Platoon leader needs to be physically fit, needs to be out front, needs to be cool, calm, under pressure, making those decisions. That is part of the job of being a platoon leader. As the aviator, flying is being part of the platoon leader. You can't be one without the other. You have to have both if you want to be a good one.
Yeah, I think that's a key insight, Jerry. It reminds me, not directly related, it reminds me of one of the field grades I respect the most in my career, where he told me while I was on staff waiting for my platoon leader job that the best staff officers make the best line leaders, best platoon leaders, best company commanders, and vice versa. You got to be very broad and not just focus on one specific skill or trait that really excites you.
All right, Randy, back to you. So we're going to talk about the second trait that you have listed here as the most important ones as a platoon leader, being confident and humble. Can you talk to me about that?
Yes, definitely. Confidence and humility. It almost sounds like those two concepts are at odds with each other, but really I think they work hand in hand. It's about finding balance between the two. When I see a new lieutenant, a new platoon leader, what I'm looking for is someone who has both confidence to lead their platoon, but at the same time, humility to learn and admit what they may not know. We've been at war, by we, I mean the Army, the military, has been at war for 15 years at this point. Within formations, you have soldiers with multiple deployments, multiple life experiences, different levels of education. It runs the gamut. When a new platoon leader moves into that platoon, one of the first things that probably comes to mind is, I need to show these 40-some-odd soldiers how much I know. A lot of times that can be a good thing, and a lot of times that can be a bad thing, depending on how it is translated to the platoon. I'm not looking for someone who is cocky. There's a difference between being cocky and being confident. Confident is knowing that you do have a certain skill set, that you do know how to plan, that you do know how to do what a platoon leader is supposed to do. Cockiness is thinking that you can do it all without the help of your subordinates, and that just gets you in trouble. Humility is being able to listen to the suggestions of your squad leaders and team leaders. I'm not suggesting that leadership by committee is the only way to go. But understanding that a squad leader may have 3-4 deployments under their belt, and they may have seen a similar situation that this platoon leader is in currently, a platoon leader needs to be able to ask that squad leader, what do you recommend? Or ask that platoon sergeant, hey, sergeant, what do you recommend? And take that information, gather it, distill it, and then give those orders with confidence. One of the best lieutenants that I had was a prior service infantry squad leader who is now a young infantry platoon leader. High speed, ranger qualified, physically fit, you name it, he had it. In talking to him, he would never use that as a basis for gaining the upper hand. He realized that he understood what it meant to be an infantry squad leader, and that he still had things to learn as an infantry platoon leader. And he was willing to learn those things. He would often come to my office and ask for guidance, which I didn't mind giving to him, because I knew he had studied the doctrine, he had done the research on his own, and he was simply asking for another viewpoint about a certain situation. He definitely respected his platoon sergeants. He respected his soldiers. He asked their opinions on things when it came to vehicle maintenance or a PT schedule. This platoon leader was the embodiment of confidence and humility. So when it comes to certain traits, I believe that those two are very important. They go hand in hand, and they help balance one another.
Randy, sounds like you gave some great actionable advice there about how platoon leaders can build trust and confidence and humility within their platoon. And you talked about humility too outside of the platoon to the commander. Can you talk a little bit about platoon leader demonstrating confidence outside of the platoon to the command team?
Yes, definitely. One of the ways that a platoon leader can demonstrate this is by the products or the performance of the platoon. So let's say I ask a platoon leader, or a platoon leader is given a mission and he has to produce a con op for the mission. Let's say it's training, or let's say it's real world, Afghanistan. This platoon leader needs to create a con op for his mission. Is he going to take the time to check the frequencies? Is he going to take the time to ensure that the manifest for the vehicles is in line with what the platoon sergeant put out? Is he going to take the time to make sure that his individual kit is squared away, that his weapon is clean, that his NVGs have batteries? It's the little thing. It's never anything outlandish. And it's also when that platoon leader may not understand something, the approach that that platoon leader takes. You can definitely tell when a platoon leader thinks he or she knows everything. You can tell just from their mannerisms, from the way that they act. They think they know everything, and then they don't take key advice from the company commander or the first sergeant. First sergeant is a huge resource for any platoon leader. Huge resource. They're not taking the advice of these senior non-commissioned officers or more senior lieutenants or the advice of their peers. And they think they're out there doing it all alone. As a company commander, I see that. I understand that. And here's a news flash. Soldiers see it. Soldiers talk about it. Oftentimes, you could just listen at the back of a company and find out, hey, is this platoon leader acting in both a confident and a humble manner? It doesn't take anything out of the ordinary. You just have to listen. I'm not saying go out there and your whole job is to be liked. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that your approach to things, your approach to missions, your approach to planning, your approach to maintenance, that's how you build that confidence both within your organization and outside of your organization. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
So, Jerry, building on Randy's comments of confidence, speak to us about why being proactive as a lieutenant is so important and how it fits into the picture.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I look for, is the ability for platoon leaders to be able to act autonomously, be proactive, and do the routine things routinely. I used to counsel my lieutenants that it would serve them well, not just now, but throughout your entire career, to have the answers to the questions before the questions are asked. Good NCOs are really good at doing this, and it works well with officers as well. So that means being proactive by seeking guidance. If there is no guidance, then you need to assess risk and the environment and take prudent action. There are not enough hours in the day to get everything done, and the platoon can't wait around all day waiting for someone just to tell them what to do. It means building relationships with the staff and leaning on people you know can come through for you. It also means helping to shape the future by providing, well thought out, good recommendations to your boss. Some bosses don't like this approach, I'll warn though. And you need to understand them and kind of feel them out first before going out and making things happen. A thing that I used to be told was you need to earn your leash. So once you earn a longer leash, being proactive goes a real long way. For those that want proactive subordinate leaders, though, they still need to be informed. So once you earn that leash and you're going out and making things happen with little or no guidance, you need to still communicate back to hire to let them know what is going on so nothing's, blindsided. So I'm not saying go rogue. Right? I'm saying be proactive and communicate effectively up and down and laterally to inform those who need to know what is occurring. Typically, when bosses are informed, they will provide added guidance to help refine what you've already done. You must always communicate, though, what you're doing. It's a key to building good relationships and also having a smoothly operating organization.
Jerry, I love that phrase, earn your leash. I can remember countless times of where I thought I was acting in the best interest and being proactive, and my company commander, staff, OIC room, of a town commander had to rein me in and explain to me the importance of communicating effectively and just checking with them before I take action. I think that's a key insight that I would tell any lieutenant is building that confidence in your chain of command so you can have that leash to act proactively and get stuff done.
So Randy, some of the things you mentioned before do not sound like fun things. Maintenance, creating con ops, checking your own equipment, but those are things that are at the baseline, minimum things that you have to do. Can you talk to us a little bit about the basics and the minimum things you expect from your platoon leaders?
Definitely. I think this goes along with that word proactive that Jerry mentioned earlier. There's a phrase that I've heard countless number of times, and it says, be brilliant at the basics. Now, for some people, what are the basics? Some would automatically default to shoot, move, communicate, provide aid, and yes, that those are the basics, and we can come back to that. But as a platoon leader, sometimes they can focus on those things while missing some of the key essential parts to being a platoon leader. And what are those? I look at awards, evals, getting soldiers to schools that need schools. These are the things that are basics for a platoon leader. So how can a platoon leader develop these traits and skills? Writing is essential for a platoon leader. This platoon leader is going to write many, many memos, op orders. He or she is also going to have to write awards, evals. And all this, while they're writing awards and evals, it may be during a deployment. A lieutenant could go out on a mission, something could happen or occur, they could be in a tick, and then when they get back, they need to digest and process all that happened. And if a soldier did something phenomenal, which they often do, the soldier may need to be put in for an award. Because that platoon leader was the senior leader on the ground at the time, they're going to be the quality control, quality check, or they may be the author of that award. If they can't write properly, if they can't formulate a sentence, the likelihood that this award is going to be approved for a well-deserving soldier goes down. Unfortunately, that's how it works. Evaluations. Let's say you have a high-speed squad leader, just one of your pipe hitters that you need to get into a key position, or you need to get them to the right school, and their evaluation is coming up. And you turn in that eval late. It may not hurt you directly, but it's going to hurt that squad leader. Schools are a big one. With the Army's op tempo, it is so important to get your young soldiers, young NCOs, and your subordinate leaders to the schools that are necessary for their personal development and personal growth. Setting aside time, planning it into your personal battle rhythm, or looking at your long-range calendar and understanding we are going to be missing Sergeant Smith from this time to this time because they need to go to this school. That's what a platoon leader needs to do. That's the type of fidelity that a platoon leader needs to have in order to communicate to the company commander. The first sergeant is going to be doing this as well. But trust me, multiple avenues, multiple voices speaking to that company commander about platoon rosters, that's a good thing. And that shows that you know your platoon. One of the other things is public speaking. Some people are comfortable with public speaking, some people are not. Learn to develop that trait. I still remember the first time I spoke to my platoon in Iraq. The first mission we ever went on was and this was when I was a platoon leader with 10th Mountain Division. The first mission that we ever went on, it was a night mission. The Humvees were running in the background. Everyone had their kit on. The different squad leaders were standing in front of me. The rest of the platoon was there, and we were getting ready for the platoon brief. When I looked out, I noticed 30 sets of eyes firmly trained directly on me. That can be a very intimidating feeling. That'll get your heart racing. Though it was my first deployment, I realized that I had to instill confidence through the words that I was about to say. because for a lot of soldiers, it was also their first deployment. For some of my soldiers, this wasn't their first deployment, so they're looking to see, hey, what's LT made of? And I'm not saying public speaking is the only thing that you're going to be judged on. We all know that's not the case. But if you can become confident in that regard, it can make your life a whole lot easier.
Jerry, for your last trait, you highlight the importance of being a team player, teamwork. Since the Army is a team made up of people, and you're, as a lieutenant, you're always working with your peers, some that you went to BOLIC with or commissioned with, how important is it to leverage those relationships and, more importantly, be a team player yourself?
Yeah, it's really important. It's important for all officers, really. But I think, in my experience, it's harder to hammer home for some of the lieutenants early on. I had a mentor that told me this piece of advice that I'll share now, that good lieutenants are team players, and they recognize the importance of what it means because they see themselves on three teams. And this applies at any level, but you're on three teams. You're on your own team, which is your platoon. You're the leader of that team, and you need to ensure that it is a team. You're also on the team of your peers. You and your peers, you're a team. That's the second team. You need to work well with XOs and with all the other platoon leaders and staff members to get stuff done. Or just when you're sitting around in private and blowing off steam, you guys need to lean on each other. And then lastly, the third team, you're on your boss's team. Whether you like that person or not, it's your job to support him or her, so long as it's not, you know, immoral, unethical, unsafe, etc. So you're on those three teams. You have to be an active member, an active player on all those teams. So how does that look behaviorally? It means taking up for your platoon, providing them top cover, earning their respect. It means helping out fellow platoon leaders in another company when they're struggling, helping them get their stuff done. It means providing meaningful recommendations to the boss to solve problems, showing that you're actively being on his team or her team. It means attending social events and FRG events in the unit. Don't be that guy or girl that just goes to work and then goes home at 1700. Be the guy or girl that's involved in the unit all the time and in all aspects of it. People notice the person who has a positive attitude and is present. And they also notice the people that never go to anything that they're not required to be at. So being a team player is immensely important in my mind, not only as a platoon leader, but throughout your career. I was glad that I got this advice early on, and I would give this advice to any rank, but it's definitely best to learn it now while you're just coming out of the gate.
Okay, great advice there, Jerry. Appreciate that. So as we end this episode, we move towards the next phase. We have a few specific questions based on what you both mentioned before. So you both talked about being a sponge, learning as much as you can as a new lieutenant. Randy, how do you foster a learning environment for your new lieutenants?
I think one of the primary things that I did was I tried to make myself available. It's very easy to get, not necessarily bogged down or overwhelmed. Essentially, you just get busy. If you don't make yourself available as a resource, a lot of times lieutenants won't come to you and ask questions, ask for guidance, and that kind of stops the learning environment right there. But another way that I tried to foster a learning environment was giving lieutenants opportunities. They may not, when it's happening, they may not see it as such. However, there are lots of times where I was tasked with a specific mission, and I would, in turn, delegate that mission to a lieutenant. Many times, I didn't pick the lieutenant who I thought was going to just knock it out of the park right away. I told them that I thought they were the lieutenant who I thought was going to knock it out of the park right away. And that may, some people may say, wait, what are you talking about? I knew that eventually that they would grasp the concept. This is where that learning orientation and that performance orientation kind of butts heads. Some people say you can either be about learning in your organization or about performing in your organization. I believe that you can be both. What you do is you give clear tasks, conditions, and standards. You get out of their way and allow that subordinate to impress you with their own ideas, with their own ways of doing things. Now, if they've stepped outside of their range, fan, that's why I'm there to direct them and say, hey, no, that's not what we were looking for. However, giving them the opportunity to perform is very important.
Yeah, so my take on that is just to have constant, open, honest, and communication. In my experiences, we did counseling, formal and written, or informal, and just talking regularly. Every day we would do something developmental. I also find helpful to do a lot of off-site events, so we would go to breakfast chow after PT. We'd go to lunch together. On the weekends, we'd golf. We'd go to the gym together. You know, not all the time, but those off-site events are good to take you out of the office and to foster a good relationship. Important to note, though, that you have to have a climate of learning. So I encourage my guys to come to me, call, text, 24/7. Like Randy said, I made myself available. I emphasize that, in essence, I worked for them and wanted to help them succeed and learn and grow and move on to the next step. And I thought that was very helpful. Also important to foster a climate of learning and development is I counseled my warrant officers, my first sergeants, my platoon sergeants on their role in helping develop the lieutenants. I made it very clear that the lieutenants were in charge, and as professionals, they obviously knew that. But the unit as a whole would fail if the warrant officers, first sergeant, platoon sergeants did not take up their end of the load in helping develop the lieutenants, and we had a pretty cohesive unit because of that. I did it in a way that I didn't undercut the lieutenants, but recognized that, you know, and was just openly, you know, candid about that they're new to the profession, and, you know, they would have a huge impact if they got the development from all angles.
So guys, on the topic of leader development, platoon leaders and executive officers are responsible for developing their subordinate NCOs and soldiers. What advice do you have in terms of developing subordinates for new lieutenants who may not have the relative operational experience but are well-versed doctrinally and tactically for those positions? Randy, I'll first ask you and then Jerry.
First and foremost, the advice I could give would be for that platoon leader or XO to know your job, know what it means to be a platoon leader or an executive officer, and then in order to develop those subordinate NCOs and soldiers, teach them your job.
Yes, I would say just be real and be honest and be open. While you might not have the experience that your subordinates have, you have a ton of knowledge and other experience. Like, for example, my soldiers would teach me the proper way to service an aircraft engine part because they were experts on that. But I could tell them why buying a certain vehicle might not be smart financially or how to use the GI Bill so that they could get some college credits. They can teach me about the proper form of an Army exercise, how to do it correctly, but I can teach them about the importance of lifelong fitness and its relation to nutrition and resilience and those sorts of things. So I would say don't sell yourself short. You're smart and you're experienced in ways. That being said, you don't know everything, and experience is vitally important. So when you don't know something, speak up and ask to be trained, going back to the confident, you know, with humility. They'll appreciate your candor and honesty if you ask for the help and the training. However, once they teach you, don't forget it and ask to be retrained and be a nuisance. Retain it.
So guys, we've talked a lot about platoon leaders, what you expect from them, and how they can be successful in that position. What I would like to hear from you both is about XOs. They have a ton on their plate. They run the company as the chief of staff. You really, as commanders, rely on them a lot. I'd like to hear from both of you about, if you had your choice of your lieutenants, how would you groom one of them to become the company XO? Randy, we'll start with you in an infantry company.
First and foremost, a company XO needs to understand that they are the, what's known as the 2IC. They are the second in charge of that company. If ever I'm, as the company commander, if I'm gone doing something else, they need to be able to step up to the plate, first and foremost. One example of this was when I deployed to Afghanistan as a company commander. My XO had been there for a couple weeks prior to me landing. My XO had to assume the responsibility for me for looking at a lot of the property just with the way the rip was going to occur. The other unit had a date where they were getting on a plane, and unfortunately things didn't sync up to where I could look at all the property. My executive officer gave me a call from Afghanistan, kept me informed about the situation, let me know what he was doing as far as the property was concerned, i.e. he was looking at every end item and all the subcomponents of those items, and he was being proactive about making sure he saw everything. He was going to sign for it, but then I was going to turn around and sign for it from him. He was keeping me totally informed of the situation. Now, in order to get PLs and other lieutenants ready to be an XO, some of the things that I try and stress to them are maintenance programs and training. XOs are heavily involved in these two things. If a platoon leader can wrap their head around their individual maintenance, making sure the parts that are coming in for vehicles are immediately being hung on that piece of equipment, or that their training is set up to where they have water available, chow laid on. If they can start thinking more about the X's and O's moving on the ground and more about what is supporting that, then I know that they are getting ready to be an executive officer.
Yeah, so for me, kind of the approach I took, regardless of the job, I always initial counsel my officers that it is assumed that you know how to do your job, and I'm here to groom you to take the next job. I would tell my XO that I'm training you to fill my seat, and the platoon leader, I'm training you to fill the XO seat. The assumption with the Army really is that Bullock A and Bullock B has taught you how to be a platoon leader. And so I say this to set the stage and expectations and to have a certain mindset to think more broadly. Obviously, platoon leaders and XOs don't just jump into the job and are immediately amazing at it. They have to learn. However, it framed how I wanted them to look at things. I told them a bunch of techniques and stuff, but mostly focused on observing, asking questions, openly communicating, conducting, you know, your own self-study and development, picking a model leader and trying to emulate that person. So in short, I expected my XOs to run the troop as if they were the commander. I expected them to focus, you know, down and in and laterally, while I would kind of focus up and out, although they did a lot of that as well and helped me out with that. When I saw that they were overwhelmed or challenged, I eased back, took some off their plate. When they came up for air and recovered, I added it back on. And I think that all goes back to communication. Nothing was a secret. It was fully transparent what I was doing, why I was doing it. And I helped out where I could. I think they appreciated it in the long run. And I know that the soldiers definitely did. And then I would compensate them, you know, for hard work and a job well done. I think it goes a long way for the expectation management and the productivity if there's that open, honest dialogue from the very beginning.
Yeah, Jerry, I really think that compensation or reward piece is incredibly important for just taking care of your lieutenants as a commander. Both of my XOs spent so many hours in the office, especially when it came to USR week. They're incredibly busy. And I made sure sometimes I just had to kick them out of the office, and I think they appreciated that. So, guys, we've had some incredible insights. I want to ask you one final question that, in hindsight, being 2020, I want you to think back to when you were fresh out of Bullock and starting off as a new lieutenant, whether it's you were PL or XO or even on staff. What would be the one piece of advice you would offer your younger self with that benefit of hindsight? Randy, go ahead.
Be mature and also enjoy what you are doing. There's, especially as a platoon leader, you're only a platoon leader for a short amount of time. Within the Army, you're never going to be in such a intimate organization that you are essentially responsible for. So enjoy it. Be mature about it. Soldiers don't need another friend, they need a leader, but you can do both.
Yeah, I would say the most important thing is an attitude and a willingness to learn, but at the same time, with that confidence, be in charge when in charge, assert your authority when it's needed, such as, you know, stopping something unsafe, issuing a punishment, making a decision in a stressful situation. You know, when in charge, be in charge. do routine things routinely. And then the last thing is, for me, the measure of success is you have the respect of your subordinates, your peers, and your superiors. That's what, to me, that's what right looks like. If you have the respect of all three of those populations.
The views expressed in the Leaders Huddle podcast are the opinions of the hosts and guests. The discussion shared here does not represent the official position of the United States Military Academy or the U.S. Army.